providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome and continuing in with KER Economics, economic politics actually right now. I'm chatting right now with a new guest, Ivan Penchikov. Ivan is a reporter for the Epoch Times. And you all know what I think of the Epoch Times. It's the only hard copy newspaper that I read practically on a daily basis. Whenever I get it, I have a subscription. Whenever I get it, I do read it. Why do I read it? I read it purely and simply because the Epoch Times is the only paper, in my opinion, that's old-fashioned in the sense that they talk about the truth. We're going to get into that a little bit later, but, you know, if you ever want a trial subscription or whatever to the Epoch Times, we've got about 400 of you who are pretty active on our blog. Just let me know, and I'll make sure that you get, you know, a trial copy or what have you. It is an excellent, excellent newspaper. Ivan, the first thing I'd like to ask you is, you are now with the Epoch Times. I've never met you in person, but then again, I've never met Josh or Charlotte in person, and I love them both. Having said that, give us a little bit about your background, if you would, Ivan.
Thank you for the great introduction of the newspaper, first of all. As some can probably tell by my name, I'm from Russia. Originally, I've been in the United States since 1999, 2000. I joined the Epoch Times back in 2010, full-time 2011. I started as a local reporter, so I covered City Hall during the tenure of Mayor Michael Bloomberg and then Mayor de Blasio, and then moved on to covering national issues. I write a lot about the White House and D.C. politics on a daily basis. And since President Trump took office, I've been writing about the various investigations that popped up starting right after the election and have been going on to this day.
Well, you know, as Trump mentioned...
Go ahead. I thought I'd add, I live in New York, happily married, and that's the only place I've lived since coming to the United States. So I feel like I'm a true New Yorker and an American on top of that. I've got a citizenship, so I consider myself an American who happened to have been born in Russia.
Well, you know, my parents certainly fell into that category. They very definitely considered themselves to be Americans. My dad was in the Coast Guard during the Second World War. He was also employed in a defense industry, and I have to say, you know, the guy in my family, for what it's worth, who was really pro-American from a conservative standpoint, was my grandfather, who was at the time of the revolution, he was a high-ranking officer in the Imperial Russian Navy. And once he came over to the U.S., he said, you know what, there is no country like the United States in terms of opportunity. So I grew up with that mantra, you know, from day one, for lack of better terms. Tell me a little bit about your education. You don't just get a job as a reporter because you're, you know, a dunderhead, for lack of better terms.
Well, you'd be surprised, but I think as far as the statistics go, most of the people who go into journalism actually didn't go to journalism school, or at least most of the really good ones. But myself, I did study English in New York City at City University of New York.
Yeah.
It's a public university, part of the public system. I focused more on literature and on teaching. I wanted to become a teacher when I went to school, but that ultimately didn't work out. So I actually did. I worked for the city government for a couple of years. Then I worked for an export trading company for a couple of years. I ran a small business with my parents in New York City, a retail business selling Russian food.
Russian food.
My two
favorite dishes in the world, bar none, would be pelmeni and pirozhki. And I don't mind golubtsy either. I mean, I love them. I grew up on that stuff, man.
Yeah, same here.
You know, the thing I like about The thing I like about you and your colleagues at the Epoch Times is you guys remind me by your actions an awful lot of myself when I was your age, which was a number of years ago. You've got a real passion for what you do. You've got a real passion for moral values and the truth. And I have to tell you, because of that, I have a real passion for the Epoch Times. Having said that, let's talk a little bit about you. The last article that you wrote, which was a couple of weeks ago, that I really focused on was some of the information that the FBI withheld from the government. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. Well, the story itself is nothing new. Most people have been reading about Hillary Clinton's emails for a long time now, 2015, 2016, this story started. But the details of what actually happened really started coming out last year with the Inspector General's report and with the public testimony by the officials involved. And what's happened over the course of 2017, 2018 is that a lot of the testimony that was given to the House, joint House Judiciary and Government Oversight Committees, remained confidential. So we did not know about the details of what went down in those interviews, what was said. And those two committees concluded their investigation at end of 2018. The conclusions sounded mostly watered down. We didn't get to learn a whole lot from what they learned from all these interviews. But the Epoch Times received from a source the transcripts of some of these testimonies. And the issue I pursued specifically, this is a story that was first spoken about mid last year, and that is that the Inspector General of the Intelligence Community, the government agency basically that initiated the whole Clinton email investigation, when they referred initially the lead to the FBI, there was an initial meeting where information was disclosed, but then they kept on going back to the FBI to give them more referrals about this case. And one of these referrals, based on what I've learned from the transcripts, was that the Inspector General has discovered that the metadata of virtually every email that Hillary Clinton sent was indicating that a copy of the email was sent to a foreign third party. Now, we knew about the referral from public testimonies last year, but we didn't know what the FBI did about it, and we didn't learn anything about it from the Department of Justice Inspector General's report, which is like several hundred pages. They came out last year. And even when the Inspector General was questioned about this last year, he didn't know what the FBI did with the referral. So what I wanted to pursue is to see what each of the witnesses said, each of the FBI witnesses said about what they did with the referral. And what I discovered is that nobody knew about it. So it was a very specific referral that the FBI received, and all the key people who should have known about it knew nothing about it. And some of the key players were totally baffled that such information existed.
Mr. Penchikoff, got to take a real quick break here. I apologize for that. As you know, we will be on the air with this here in less than 24 hours. And I have to say that our stations do need to take quick commercial breaks. That's what's happening right now. I'm going to be right back, you guys, with Ivan Penchikoff.